Chapter 16. Diana is invited to tea with tragic results. October was a beautiful month at Green Gables, when the birches in the hollow turned as golden as sunshine, and the maples behind the orchard were royal crimson, and the wild cherry trees along the lane put on the loveliest shades of dark red and bronzy green, while the fields sunned themselves in the aftermaths. Anne revelled in the world of colour about her. "Oh, Marilla," she exclaimed one Saturday morning, coming dancing in with her arms full of gorgeous boughs, "I'm so glad I live in a world where there are Octobers. It would be terrible if we just skipped from September to November, wouldn't it? Look at these maple branches. Don't they give you a thrill? Several thrills. I'm going to decorate my room with them." "Messy things," said Marilla, whose aesthetic sense was not noticeably developed. "You clutter up your room entirely. Too much with out-of-door stuff, Anne. Bedrooms were made to sleep in." "Oh, and dream in too, Marilla. And you know one can dream so much better in a room where there are pretty things. I'm going to put these boughs in the old blue jug and set them on my table. Mind you, don't drop leaves all over the stairs then. I'm going to a meeting of the Aid Society at Carmody this afternoon, Anne, and I won't likely be home before dark. You'll have to get Matthew and Jerry their supper. So mind you, don't forget to put the tea to draw until you sit down at the table as you did last time." "Oh, it was dreadful of me to forget," said Anne apologetically. "But that was the afternoon I was trying to think of a name for Violet Vale, and it crowded other things out. Matthew was so good. He never scolded a bit. He put the tea down himself and said we could wait a while as well as not. And I told him a lovely fairy story while we were waiting. So he didn't find the time long at all." "It was a beautiful fairy story, Marilla." "I forgot the end of it, so I made up an end for it myself. And Matthew said he couldn't tell where the join came in." "Matthew would think it all right, Anne, if you took a notion to get up and have dinner in the middle of the night. But you keep your wits about you this time. And I don't really know if I'm doing right. It may make you more addlepated than ever. But you can ask Diana to come over and spend the afternoon with you and have tea here." "Oh, Marilla," Anne clasped her hands. "How perfectly lovely. You are able to imagine things after all, or else you'd never have understood how I've longed for that fairy thing. It will seem so nice and grown-uppish. No fear of my forgetting to put the tea to draw when I have company. Oh, Marilla, can I use the rosebud spray tea set?" "No, indeed. The rosebud tea set. Well, what next? You know I never use that except for the Minister of the Aids. You'll put down the old brown tea set, but you can open the little yellow crock of cherry preserves. It's time it was being used anyhow. I believe it's beginning to go. And you can cut some fruitcake and have some of the cookies and snaps. I can just imagine myself sitting down at the head of the table and pouring out the tea," said Anne, shutting her eyes ecstatically. "And asking Diana if she takes sugar. I know she doesn't, but of course I'll ask her, just as if I didn't know. And then pressing her to take another piece of fruitcake and another helping of preserves. Oh, Marilla, it's a wonderful sensation just to think of it. Can I take her into the spare room to lay off her hat when she comes? And then into the parlour to sit?" "No, The sitting room will do for you and your company. But there's a bottle half full of raspberry cordial that was left over from church social the other night. It's on the second shelf of the sitting room closet, and you and Diana can have it if you like. And a cookie to eat with it along in the afternoon. For I dare say Matthew will be late coming in to tea, since he's hauling potatoes to the vessel. Anne flew down to the hollow, past the dryad's bubble, and up the spruce path to Orchard Slope, to ask Diana to tea. As a result, just after Marilla had driven off to Carmody, Diana came over, dressed in her second best dress, and looking exactly as it is proper to look when asked out to tea. At other times, she was wont to run into the kitchen without knocking, but now she knocked primly at the front door. And when Anne, dressed in her second best, as primly opened it, both little girls shook hands as gravely as if they had never met before. This unnatural solemnity lasted until after Diana had been taken to the east gable to lay off her hat and then had sat for 10 minutes in the sitting room toes in position. "How is your mother?" inquired Anne politely. Just as if she had not seen Mrs. Barry picking apples that morning, in excellent health and spirits. "She's very well, thank you. I suppose Mr. Cuthbert is hauling potatoes to the Lily Sands this afternoon, is he?" said Diana, who had ridden down to Mr. Harmon Andrews's that morning in Matthew's cart.